Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining me now is Philip Knightley, who was a special correspondent for the Sunday Times for 20 years and one of the leaders of its inside investigative team. He was twice named Journalist of the Year in the British Press Awards and won the Overseas Press Club of America Award for his first book on foreign affairs, The First Casualty, about war reporting. And, of course, he wrote his biography, A Hack's Progress. And thank you so much for joining us on Background Briefing, Philip Knightley.
From London.
And there you are in the center of the storm in London, where I believe there's a piece by Carl Bernstein of Watergate fame suggesting that the News of the World scandal has become Rupert Murdoch's Watergate.
Yes, I don't think that's an exaggeration. It's going to run and run and run. We've not had the worst of it yet. Even Rebecca Brooks says there's a lot more to come. Very damaging, maybe. She told the staff of the News of the World when she farewelled them that it would take 12 months for it all to come out, and then they would understand her position better. The newspapers and the commentators are all both saying that there's a lot more to come, and they would not be surprised if some of the leading participants in this scandal end up in jail.
But is this like Watergate, a situation where the cover-up is worse than the crime?
I think it is. I mean, the News of the World did its utmost possible to keep the payments to corrupt cops secret. It tried to insist that it was only one rogue reporter who was doing this hacking. And in an attempt to cover it up, I mean, they've suddenly found that it all comes crashing down on their heads.
Well, it does seem that the family are involved. I don't know the extent to which Murdoch knew about this activity or whether, like Nixon, he tried to keep his distance, if I can belabor the Watergate analogy. James Murdoch, his son, seems to be in the crosshairs. How do you think, Philip Knightley, this will eventually reach Murdoch himself?
I don't think it will reach Murdoch. I mean, I don't think he's distanced himself from it. He claims that he knew nothing about it, although some of his staff say that he kept such a close eye on expenditure that he could not possibly have not known that this money was being expended on private detectives. But I don't know. I don't think that it will extend to Murdoch, but I think that if I was James, I would be very worried at the moment, because he has agreed that he signed off onto some of the money paid out in compensation of these wronged people, and that is virtually an admission that the hacking had taken place. And if he signed off on payments, then he's certainly at risk.
Again, I'm speaking with Philip Knightley, who is a veteran Fleet Street reporter in London. He was a special correspondent for the Sunday Times for 20 years and one of the leaders of its inside investigative team, and has won numerous awards, including the Overseas Press Club of America Award for his first book about war correspondents, The First Casualty. He also wrote an autobiography about his own journalism, A Hack's Progress, and we're talking about the unfolding scandal of the News of the World, which News Corp, Rupert Murdoch's company, were forced to close. There's some doubt as to whether they'll rebrand it and reopen it. But at the moment, the full scope of the scandal, of course, outraged everybody in England, including the Prime Minister, who himself is implicated, I guess, in as much as his PR guy has been indicted. But for the benefit of the audience, the Murdoch journalist hacked into the cell phone of a missing girl. They deleted messages because her box was full. They were giving the poor parents the illusion that the child was still alive, not to mention destroying evidence. I mean, I'm just giving an example of the depravity here. Has it really shocked the country? Because it certainly shocked me.
Yes, it has shocked the country. And the government has received literally hundreds of thousands of complaints from ordinary readers and viewers. The News of the World has been forced to close. And the really dangerous thing is that it's becoming apparent that the News of the World was not the only paper that was engaged in these practices, and that suggests a level of corruption among the police force and among journalists themselves that is deplorable.
So how, what's the political fallout? Because my understanding is that Murdoch has essentially been able to intimidate and blackmail British politicians. He's almost a kingmaker if he decided to anoint Tony Blair and more recently Cameron, and they've all had to pay fealty to him in order to get ahead in their political careers. Where does that stand?
Well, somebody made the comment recently that there has been a secret cabinet minister, cabinet member, in every recent British government, namely Rupert Murdoch, and that his support was so assiduously sought after that he was the kingmaker in every government in recent times. Parliamentarians paid court to him, and parliamentarians ran scared about the risk of incurring the wrath of Murdoch newspapers, and not only Murdoch newspapers, but other newspapers as well, because they were threatened with being done over, to use a newspaper term, by having their private life peered into in an intrusive, objectionable manner. Everybody has some little secret they would like to keep, and then if you're not really white, then Murdoch, the Murdoch press, would discover what your weakness was by using traditional and untraditional methods of investigation, such as going through your rubbish bins and listening to your telephone calls, discovering your bank accounts, investigating your bank accounts, and that this no parliamentarian would run the risk of having this happen to him by needlessly irritating or investigating or complaining about any newspaper or journalist.
Well, it seems that Phil Knightley, again, veteran Fleet Street reporter in London, we're talking about where the Rupert Murdoch scandal stands now, where apparently the politicians have finally shown some courage and broken, I take it. They're no longer intimidated. Has the worm turned?
Yes, the worm has turned, or is in the process of turning. Mm-hmm. And this will change forever, I think, the relationship between the Parliament and the press. For too long, British political parties have been too close to newspapers. For too long, they've allowed newspapers to sort of set the tone of the relationship with their spin doctors and their fear of rubbing politicians up the wrong way, rubbing newspapers up the wrong way. So now I hope there will be, if there is any reform, some more distant relationship, a more professional relationship, and not one of toadying to the other side.
In terms of Rebecca Brooks, who's in the crosshairs, if you will, of the investigation, she's apparently a practitioner of this kind of blackmail with the politicians. And if you come after me, I'll release all the dirt we have on you. Kind of reminiscent of J. Edgar Hoover's, how he intimidated Washington politicians for so many decades. Why is Murdoch standing by her so assiduously?
Some commentators here have likened the Murdoch clan to a mafia clan. Don't talk to anybody outside the family. Keep all the secrets within the family, and absolute loyalty to any member of the family. I think that it's a bit more than that. I mean, I think that Rupert has found in Rebecca Brooks a sort of surrogate daughter who he's had big plans for, particularly to do with the divisions within the family, the Wendy Deng section, the Murdoch section, and he's been preparing for the time that either before his death or after it, that the Murdoch empire is broken up, and he wanted to ensure that the Murdochs within the clan could maintain their dominance against the Deng side, and he was recruiting Rebecca Brooks for the purpose of being a surrogate daughter.
So that means that Murdoch's relatively recent marriage to the younger Chinese woman, Wendy Deng, are you suggesting she's some kind of Trojan horse, that she's managed to split the family and create her own little empire within his empire?
Well, I don't know about a Trojan horse, but she certainly protected her and her children's interests against the wider Murdoch clan.
So that's the breakdown in terms of factions now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in no position to speak with any more authority than anybody else, but that's certainly the viewpoint of Michael Wolff, who was Murdoch's biographer.
Well, I understand that I interviewed Michael Wolff, and Murdoch turned on him, and I understand that Michael Wolff himself became the object of this kind of harassment from private detectives, etc., that News Corp had employed to intimidate him.
Yes, you don't have to have private detectives. I mean, ordinary journalists will do the job nicely. It's just very, very boring to be under the media spotlight and to be harassed by paparazzi working for Murdoch-controlled press.
How did Michael Wolff get out of the Murdoch crosshairs, do you know?
I think he tried to turn the tables on Murdoch and threatened to release all sorts of material that he'd been holding back from his research into Murdoch. If Murdoch didn't call off, whether Murdoch himself would have to do it, but if the Murdoch press didn't call off their underlings, hirelings, and tough men.
So, Philip Knightley, again, veteran Fleet Street reporter in London. He spent 20 years with the Sunday Times of London, one of the leaders of its Inside investigative team, won twice named Journalist of the Year in Britain and by the British Press Awards, and also won the Overseas Press Club of America Award for his first book on war correspondence, The First Casualties. He also wrote an autobiography, A Hack's Progress, and we're talking about where the unraveling scandal with News Corp in London or in England stands with the closure of the News of the World and revelations of unbelievably callous behavior on the part of reporters investigating not just the royals, but investigating victims of crimes, as in the case of this young girl that was abducted, which seems to have raised the conscience of the political class, not to mention citizens of the country itself, and put Murdoch and his practices in the spotlight and on the defensive. What's going to happen now about Sky B? Murdoch thought that he could just get the Parliament to rubber stamp 90% takeover. Isn't it the world's biggest TV network at this point?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, now there's some possibility he won't be able to move his 40% stake up to 90%. Is that?
It is. It's a distinct possibility. I think that the deal will be delayed and maybe possibly called off because the public now would not stand for Murdoch controlling such a big broadcasting organization. As well as all the newspapers that he does. And the News of the World having dropped out doesn't mean to say that he doesn't own lots of other newspapers, some of whom, incidentally, may well have been involved in exactly the same practices as the News of the World was. We mustn't consider that the News of the World was the only one doing this sort of thing. I never did it in my time on the Sunday Times because apart from having moral objections, the technology wasn't there. I mean, the old-fashioned landline telephone was not open to the abuse that the new cell phones are.
So, given the political heft of Murdoch and how he exercises it, and how he uses his papers, and you were talking earlier about this unholy relationship between the press and politicians, where the press become kingmakers, and the politicians have to basically pay fealty to this press baron Rupert Murdoch, and I imagine others as well. What we know about Murdoch, which is pretty obvious over here in the United States, is Fox News, how it is so stridently Republican. It is actually almost like a propaganda organ for the government, for the Pravda of the Republican Party, if you will. And he is becoming a kingmaker in terms of the Republican nominees for president. For a while there, about half of them were consultants to Fox News. So what's your understanding? I mean, how does our experience here in the United States differ from your experience there in Great Britain? Is he that overtly political in Britain? Because it seems like he bets all sides. He bets Tony Blair than Cameron.
Much more discreet over here. I mean, because basically the British public and the BBC would not stand for such a partisan broadcaster. That has kept, largely through the BBC, that has kept Murdoch at bay with sort of Fox News. But we can't be sure that will continue. And Murdoch has a habit of hiring people who worked with people with other organizations that he considered to be his enemies, and buying them out. The recent trouble here, the DPP had been advising or looking into what prosecution should be brought against the Murdoch organization, and suddenly the DPP leaves and is suddenly hired by Murdoch. He's not as aggressive or as overtly political in Britain as he is in the United States, because he doesn't have to be.
Well, but he's restrained by the BBC, and which is probably explains why he is obsessed about trying to bring down the BBC.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So I thank you for joining us here today in Los Angeles from London, Philip Knightley, and filling us in on this unraveling scandal.
Good. A pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Philip Knightley, who was a special correspondent for the Sunday Times of London for 20 years. He was one of the leaders of its Inside investigative team. He twice was named Journalist of the Year in the British Press Awards and won the Overseas Press Club of America Award for his first book on war correspondence, The First Casualty. He also wrote the autobiography, A Hack's Progress. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be joined in the studio by LA Times investigative reporter Bill Rempel. Dead one, red rum, political bedlam. Don't let the hype into your eyes and eardrum. Murdoch on Fox, not 18 with Barackas. And he hate Barack cause he marched with the marches.
I pledge allegiance to the fair and balanced truth. Not the biased truth, not the liar's truth, but the highest truth. I will not be deceived, nor will I believe in the propaganda.